Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 14th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor, Mr. Vice. Chairman.
That's right. I forgot.
Chairman of Vice.
That just happened.
Ryan Sundberg. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're not there official.
I'm not used to that yet.
You don't have the card yet.
Yeah, so.
Nobody probably call you that anyway.
Yeah, we take turns. So it's not like. That's pretty funny.
It's not a big deal.
Oh,
though.
You're the chairperson of the Board of Supervisors? It's like, well, it was my turn.
Yeah, well, depends on who's asking and the situations immediately surrounding, yeah. Our quote this morning comes from Abbott Lawrence Lowell. Of course there's a lot of knowledge in universities. The freshmen bring in a little. The seniors don't take out much. So knowledge sort of accumulates.
Okay.
Yeah. Lots kind of like the electeds, huh? Mm-hmm. You go in with not too much, you come out with not too much, but during the time you're there, you know what? See, mm-hmm. Everybody thinks you know an awful lot.
Yeah, know enough, they can create some safe zones and...
A little danger, a little mayhem, yeah.
Lots of protests. And,
and then we move on.
Yep.
Oh, boy. So you guys, what is the function of CSAC and some of these other groups, the county... You guys have representatives on or in or attend or have membership?
So the main function, well, CSAC has a few different functions, but its main function is all 58 counties are a part of it. And we represent, you know, all the people in California, basically, when you get all 58 counties together. And so it is a political lobbying arm to the state. And, so if the governor or the legislature tries to come up with something that is not good for counties, the CSAC political arm goes into effect. And, I mean, the governor comes and meets with CSAC. You know, the budget people come and meet with CSAC. And so it's
a
huge political influence.
So why isn't that redundant over or redundant of assemblymen who are also supposed to be representing and looking out for the county's concerns?
Well, so you may have your assemblyman who is completely on board with what the county wants, you know, but the...
red plastic cups, for example.
Yeah, but one from somewhere else may be on a different page, you know. So what we try to do is at CSAC is they have like a more general platform because they represent big counties, small counties. And, you know, so they may come up with a... shift, say, like AB 109, where they shift the prisoners over to the counties. Well, CSAC gets really involved to make sure that there's money tied to that shift, you know, so there's not an unfunded mandate. You've heard that word
another
before.
Another unfunded mandate. So yeah. This is a safety net to protect us against the assemblymen or to work in parallel with?
Work in parallel with, yeah.
Electeds?
To make, yeah. So they, I mean, this assemblymen are not going to want to go against CSAC because they represent all the people. I mean, you wouldn't be in office very long, right? And so,
well,
but they
at
come
least two
up
years.
With, but they come up with different plans all the time, and words matter in these bills, you know. So it's the CSAC's job to make sure that whatever is coming down the pipe is not going to hurt the counties. And then we have representatives on there to represent the small counties. And, you know, Virginia Supervisor Bass is the recently elected to, she's going to be the president in a couple of years of the organization, which is going to be a huge advantage for Humboldt County.
We'll find out how huge Virginia will be when we come back.
It's going to be bigly.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. That's air conditioning, man. That's ambiance.
Freezing.
I know. You won't never fall asleep in this studio.
That is true.
That's the goal of this.
Yeah. I thought really that's what you were here for.
To sleep?
No, to make sure I don't fall asleep.
Oh. Yeah, but, you know, if you go into one of those deep sleeps, I can't get you out of it.
Okay. Well, you've got those really long legs. I thought that's what you use them for.
Yeah.
My shins always hurt when I leave here.
You betcha. Before the break, we talked a little bit about, you had mentioned that Virginia got a really, really big appointment.
She did, yes.
In association with CSAC. So if CSAC is a major lobbying entity for us through you guys and gals at the supervisorial level, why don't we hear more about it from regular folks?
So, so how do you explain it? So CSAC is a, you know, their main function is this political arm, you know, and we've got lobbyists, right, that the county has. And, I mean, you don't hear about that very often either, but you don't, I mean, this is all the background work that happens to make sure that counties don't get the short end of the stick all the time. And then the other function that CSAC does is an educational tool for supervisors and elected officials. So
the newbies going in.
Well, not
and
only
maintaining
that.
So also?
It's they have the new Supervisors Institute is the one you're talking about. Every supervisor goes to that. But then they also have continuing education for supervisors on all broad range of topics. They had me come and do a panel discussion with another Native American supervisor from San Bernardino County. We did tribal local government relationship on, you know, how to deal with those. You know, for instance, they have Kathy Hayes, our clerk, just she just graduated from the, I think it's the Clerks Institute or something like that. I forget which one it was, but they have different, you can graduate from these courses that, you know, take you through leadership and organization and, you know, just make you a better employee and better elected official.
So it's ongoing training in the industry, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like continuing education on steroids for counties.
For those
basically.
Who are close enough to be able to send their people there.
Yeah, and it is definitely a lot harder. It's a bigger deal for us to have someone graduate from those because it's so much further and it's a big commitment that they have to put in. And so we're pretty proud of Kathy. And then now Supervisor Bass, I have to say, you want to hear how she got elected?
Does it involve straws or lines and people stepping backwards?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Okay. So we went to the way it works is there's the urban counties get a turn at being chair or president of CSAC, then the suburban counties, which is the, you know, kind of middle of the road. Sonoma County would be in, yeah. And then you have the rural counties get a shot at being president. So every year it rotates.
They're known as the, who are you?
Yeah.
Counties? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You have 10,000 people in your county? So Virginia put her name in the hat to run, and you have the rural caucus is what they call it. And so our, you know, all the rural counties get together and you all send a representative to that. And so there was two people that were interested in being the president of CSAC for the rural counties when our turn comes up in a couple of years. And it was Supervisor Bass and then a supervisor from Siskiyou County. And so the room's full of people and the caucus is all at the table and they say, okay, we're going to vote to see who's going to be president of CSAC. And so there's all this suspense around that on who's going to, you know, and they both campaigned really hard to the rest of the caucuses to say what they're going to
do
for those
counties. Just stand up and kind of say what you hope to do?
Yeah, there's a lot of
work. Or does it involve alcohol?
There's a lot of work that probably happens at an hour, you know, or a year beforehand that, you know, and then all the way up until the caucus starts.
So you just don't make the decision earlier that morning saying, yeah, okay, I'll do
no,
it if
no.
you guys want.
There's probably, you know, emails and phone calls and, you know.
Okay, lobbying.
They have to really run for these spots, and then they do a speech at the caucus of, you know, to the whole group. And so she did a really, really great speech, and then they did the vote, and it came out, the president says, we have a tie. And there's one ballot that we cannot read. It's illegible. And everyone's
well,
like,
now, if I was there, I would know who that was.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, it's like keeping score when you're playing golf.
Yeah, yeah.
It always seems to work out. So they said, we have to re-vote. And so they handed the ballots back out, and they said, either circle Humboldt or circle Siskiyou County so we don't have this issue again. So they, you know, take 10 minutes to re-vote, and there was a couple of people who were on the phone who had to do – it was all secret ballot. And so they had to text their vote into one of the staffers who would show it to another person who would write it down on paper and turn it in with the rest of the ballots. So they do all this, and Virginia wins by one vote. And so –
Was that yours?
No, she's our delegate to the caucus, and so she voted. You know, good thing she voted for herself.
Yeah, that.
But it was pretty intense, and it was pretty exciting because I mean, being president of CSAC is, you know, it's a big deal, and there's 3,000 people out in front of you, and you at the conference, and you are the one that is in charge of the whole thing. And so it's, she's going to be the president of all 58 counties in a couple of years.
For her, it's cool. For the county, is it cool?
Yeah, and the reason it's a good thing is because you have a direct pipeline to the governor, to the legislature.
So last chance grade?
Well,
might get some attention from the state more than what it is?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
for sure.
Cool.
And then, but you know, the federal government is who is the main player in the.
Well, not if you talk to them. They say it's a state issue.
The feds only. The feds. The feds. Gotcha. The feds don't have to balance a budget. Where do you think the money's coming from?
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, the Salvation Army, and by REDEC. Ryan, last week we heard about some of the committee openings. Virginia was in. She was spending a little bit of time talking about the constitution of some of the committees and that there might be some reshuffling and maybe doing it a little bit differently in the future. Not necessarily getting rid of any, but changing the numbers. Then the next day we heard that there was an opening on the Measure Z committee, or multiple openings on it. My initial thought was, okay, gee, I guess something got funded and now they're happy, so now they're leaving and they'll allow somebody else to come in. Why are there four? Three or four positions
open on
Measure Z, because there weren't that many going in, and I know there were a ton of folks doing battle trying to get a seat on it initially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few open. I know that my appointment moved, so my appointment is open, and I'm going to have to find somebody to fill that one, and then we're going to have some at-larges, and you know, it's a lot of work. You know, when the Measure Z committee starts meeting, it's, you know, long meetings for a while. You know, they meet multiple times a week for multiple hours. And
probably in the daytime, huh?
No, I think it's at night because it's a lot of work. Yeah,
so you can't go to sleep and nobody's going to get mad at you.
Yeah. But they, you know, there's $10 million or so in Measure Z money. that's on the line, and they have to go through every single application that comes in and rank them.
Do they?
That's what they do. I don't know. Oh, they can do whatever they want. They just have to give the Board of Supervisors a recommendation, and how they've chosen to give that recommendation is in a ranked, you know, this is our first list, this is our second list, and this, you know, so this would be the nice, you know, it would be nice if we had extra money list.
You don't want to appoint me.
It usually, yeah, they...
I just kind of have a line and say, okay, these ones are viable. And then the other ones wouldn't even be mentioned. I mean,
well, we would like more information than that. We would like...
Well, I understand the viability.
That's why you're not on there.
Yeah, I know. I know. That plus you don't need another hand grenade lobber, do you? What do you guys look for? Is it something that is almost a rollover? I would imagine if
look for
the sheriff's department...
In a person?
No, in the recommendations.
Oh.
If the sheriff's department or the DA's office wasn't top dog in getting a lion's share, I'm sure that there would be blowback from the community, from you guys. Okay, so.
And I've actually, when I've appointed people, I've talked to them about, you know, what are the priorities? And because I know what my interpretation for Measure Z was when it was campaigned for, how I campaigned for it. And it was, you know, public safety, and basically the first thing that people wanted, they wanted more sheriff's officers and more boots on the ground, and that was said over and over and over. And, you know, then there's the, you know, the public safety at large, which is, you know, the fire department and the district attorney and
the second tier
probation
related,
and and the jail. And so they, you know, those ones have, you know, I think they've done a pretty good job on, they, you know, everything the sheriff has asked for, he's pretty much received. And the DA, you know, there was some money that was left over for Measure Z at the midterm and or the first quarter budget that we just had, and she said, you know, I have what I need. So it's I think we're doing a good job of filling all those. And then
so everybody's playing in the sandbox pretty good.
Yeah, they really are. And either there's, I guess you could always give more to something, but it's, I think we're doing an adequate job, and something that the community's going to have to start thinking about, because we're, you know, a couple years into it now. It's a 5-year measure. What does the future of Measure Z look like? You know, do
we start setting aside things?
Well, yeah. Do we refund it at the whole 0.5%? And then keep things going the way that they're going.
How about set up a corpus and pull just interest off of it?
There's a lot of options.
Choices. Yeah.
Do you scale it back to 0.25% and then just fund the core things that are around it? You know.
How many of these were one timers?
Huh?
How many were one timers versus ongoing needs?
Yeah. So we'll have those numbers of, this is how many permanent positions, and here's the public safety agencies they're in, and this is how much it costs to fund it, and here's how much of a sales tax increase we would need to fund that, and it's probably not the whole 0.5%. And so the community's going to have to start thinking about what that looks like, and whether, you know, what, you know, do we want to lower? I'd love to see the sales tax lowered, and, you know, and see what happens. But
when you are contemplating an individual, I suppose, let's say it's me.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you can put an ugly face to it. What are you looking for? Do you want somebody who's going to be a marionette with you at the end of the string? Are you looking for somebody who might be contrarian? Somebody who's going to just reflect the community as a representative? Are you looking for somebody who's going to be a free thinker and might be looking for new ideas or bring new ideas to the table?
So what I look for, this is for Measure Z. The different committees are different. You know, you look for different people. And for Measure Z, the first thing I ask is if you can attend every single meeting that they have, and are you willing to put that commitment in? Because if you miss a meeting, my district misses out on a lot of money, and I'm not willing to let that happens. So if you cannot make every single meeting, you need to tell me right now.
Do they make determinations on funding each time they get together?
They rank them. Yeah, they go through them all and rank them, and you need to be at every single meeting. I've watched this happen a couple times now, and it's you need to be there. And then the other thing that I look for that I try and find in a person is someone who is not someone who will sit back and just kind of go along with what everyone's saying. And I want someone who's strong and is not willing to voice their opinion and, you know, stick up for the 5th district, you know, make sure that we're getting our fair share of the of Measure Z, you know, not just go along to get along. So those
are in the district, but still have a countywide orientation.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, and then on this Measure Z one, I'll make sure our priorities are the same and that they have the same understanding that I have of what public safety is, you know, and then, you know, because on the ballot measure, it said public safety and then it said, you know, had roads on there. And so I want them to make sure that they have the same understanding that I have and not make a recommendation that I have to go against.
You don't want the phone calls later. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I don't want to pull the strings, but you definitely have to be in the same box.
KINS, thinking inside the box. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sandberg. Ryan, obviously we got Christmas time coming up, New Year, all that kind of neat stuff that's out
there. Did you just
call
me Ryan Sandberg?
No.
I think he did.
He could actually play baseball.
Yeah.
He was an athlete.
Yeah, that is not me.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't think you'd get it mixed up.
Nice try, though. I didn't call you Brian either. What's this time of the year mean for you?
I like this time of the year, except for the weather. It's super slow for the county. After being there for 6 years now, I fully know that there is absolutely nothing going to happen between right now and the first of the year. Between Thanksgiving and the first of the year, it seems just like dies and is really, really slow. So it's nice to get caught up. You know, it's nice to spend some time with your family, and I really enjoy that part of it, and having a little bit of time,
breathing time.
Yeah, a little decompression, and it's really nice. So.
What are you looking forward to after the holidays?
What am I looking forward to after the holidays?
Other than Virginia being its top dog, woof, woof.
Well, that's not for a couple more years.
But she's going to start getting attention, which I think will help the county to kind of get on the radar screen for some of these folks. But, I would think that there's going to be a little shift of work over to you and the others because of her lack of availability on some of this stuff. But what does 2017 look like for the county from your point of view?
So, 2017 is going to be really interesting for cannabis, for one. I know it's not your favorite thing, but there's big
changes. On so many levels,
changes.
I'll just say yes.
Well, changes are coming, you know, and with 64 passed and the state trying to get ramped up for full licensing by the beginning of 2018, there's so much that has to happen in this next year that we need to follow and make sure that we're synced up. You know, it's going to be really interesting. We have Measure S that just passed, so the cultivation tax, and there's a lot going on with how do you collect that?
So it's kind of like
on the property taxes.
The year of implementation.
It's just laying the groundwork for all this.
And hopefully you get somebody from Measure Z, too.
I will get someone from Measure Z, I promise you that. But they're
right.
It's not going to be you because you don't live in my district.
Yes.
Dang it. You dodged that bullet.
See everybody tomorrow.